from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Now, start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McCain on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
That's right. Welcome in Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com as well. You can find us on iTunes. Just search for Chasing Checkers. How's it going? Chase McCabe here with you as always. And I got a special guest in studio this week. We're going to have some fun. It's Memorial Day weekend. It's a triple header of racing. Tim Duggar is here. And those of you that have been at the racetrack and around NASCAR, you probably know this guy because you're always playing music. That's your thing. Playing at the NASCAR races. But Tim, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I've kind of turned in the last couple of years of the NASCAR circuit and the racing circuit into a little tour. So I think it's a great job to be able to play and then just sit around, drink beer, and watch racing. So
yeah, that's the
it's
life.
It's a win-win, yep.
That is the life. And you have a Knoxville Nationals hat on, which is pretty awesome. We have a lot to get into with you because there's an event coming to town next weekend that's really cool. You and I were at the fairgrounds as they were putting the dirt on the track for the World of Outlaws, so we'll jump into that a little bit. But just your story, how you got involved in this. I know you're country music artist, and that was your goal, but you're a race fan too, and you've been able to combine the two.
Yeah, it's funny. I grew up about 45 minutes from Talladega, so I would go over there as a kid and go sit in the stands and watch a race. I knew nobody inside the business. And I was at a race probably around 2006, 2007, and went out, to a restaurant afterwards and met some people. And this guy, ended up being a really close family friend. He's like, "I want you to meet Richard Childress." I was like, "Oh, okay." And so probably about 2 weeks later, we drove up to Welcome and had lunch with Richard, who is out of all the people in racing, he's my hero. Like, yeah. His story. And, I just think he's the man, cause he is the man. And so we had lunch and, it kind of all started from that. And that led me to, started kind of playing some races, and that ended up leading me to getting a record deal with Curb because, Mike Curb's so big in motorsports. He saw me play in Daytona. So without racing, there's no, telling what path, my music would be on, but I really enjoy the sport. It's, it's kind of playing the NASCAR stuff is, moved into playing some dirt stuff and excited about the World Outlaws being here. I got to play the Knoxville Nationals last year and playing it again this year, which is crazy. Party. I tell people, there's some good parties in NASCAR, but that Knoxville is something else. It's been a great deal, and the fans are, they're there to party, and that's it's an easy crowd to play to.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Talladega. Growing up close to Talladega, I've been there a couple times, and the first time I went, I just started college, so I was about 19 and up to no good. Sat on the backstretch, camped out. And I grew up a lot that weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Because I saw more things. And my uncle, who is really, my uncle and my dad got me into racing, into NASCAR. And my uncle was always the one that, would go and have a good time and party at the track and things like that. He took me to my first cup race in Daytona. And he told me, he said, "Look, when you go to Talladega, you're going to see things you haven't seen before." And he was right. But it's a good time, and we've had Grant Lynch on the show, the chairman there, and they embrace the whole party atmosphere and what they're doing with the infield and the renovations and stuff. It's a pretty cool place. And the race I was at, you may remember this, Dale Jr. probably he had an issue, tire issue or something early in the race. So this was probably 2006. He had an issue early in the race, was a couple laps down, got one back the hard way and one back with the lucky dog, works his way back up to the field, is leading the race, going into turn three. Johnson's behind him, and Vickers takes out Johnson and takes out Junior. Vickers wins the race. I almost got hit in the head with a Bud Light, full Bud Light.
It was wild.
Because people were ticked off.
Oh, yeah, it was wild. I was at that race sitting on the front stretch. I used to like to sit kind of near the entrance of Pitt Road. But I remember that, and people went nuts. Because I think everybody's reaction at first was they thought Jimmy did it.
Yeah.
Which would have made it even worse because they were, you know, Hendrick versus DEI then. But, yeah, that was wild. There was beer cans, and I wasn't old enough to drink then.
Yeah.
Legally. But it Same. Was a, that was a wild time to be there.
And it was just, it was a fun race, and it was fun to see, you know, everybody was watching Junior because he's battling back, working his way because he had a hot rod. I mean, he had a hell of a car and should have won the race, and then that happened. But that's the kind of things you'll see at Talladega. And you mentioned Richard Childress being the man. He is the man. He's the car owner. No disrespect to the Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer now, but no disrespect to Rick Hendrick or Joe Gibbs or Roger Penske or Jack Roush or anyone else. Richard Childress is the man. And being this coming from an Earnhardt fan growing up, but just what he's done for the sport, and now you know, getting to be Pop Pop and have his grandkids drive for him—that's pretty cool.
You know, he any man that I mean, he's nothing against all the other team owners because they're all, you know, the NASCAR's been really lucky to have some great ones, but him—he's a racer. Like mm-hmm. that's why he's not. He's no other venture. Made him money so he could start a race team. That's how he made its money. So you have to, you know, from selling peanuts at Bowman Gray to winning championships. I mean, that's a pretty cool deal. And I mean, to this day, I mean, he's just laid back and eats Vienna sausage and just. I mean, he's just a cool. I've seen him drink wine and eat Vienna sausage. So. He's still the man.
Yeah, and he's still got his vineyard, I guess, yeah, too. Yeah. His Childress Vineyards. Chase McCabe, Tim Duggar here with you on Chasing Checkers. So what do you make of the racing these days? They have this rules package, and I've been, you know, just kind of letting it play out. But the last few weeks, we've seen some pretty good stuff. Kansas was awesome. I loved the racing at Kansas. And then I thought the All-Star race was pretty good last week. You know, Bowyer fighting people with his helmet on, which I love. Like, I wish he'd take his helmet off and let Newman get out of the car, but I love it, you know, when the fisticuffs start. But what do you make of the racing so far?
I think the racing's as good as it's been. I mean, it's this package, you know, I've been kind of bummed because it's taken some people that had the old style figured out.
Yeah.
Like Larson could really, you know, find his groove and come. And I think he's having to figure out this new drafting on the mile and a halves. But for fans, I don't see how you couldn't like it. I wish the cars, if they could just get them a little bit. So when they do make contact, I mean, they're pretty stable.
Yeah.
They can be sideways and straighten back up, which is good. But I think you need to be able to, I'd love to see if you mess up that bad that it's a little harder to save it. Not
right.
Not that I like Rex, but it's just like, come on. I mean,
yeah,
you know, have to pay for some of those moves you're making.
We've seen some pretty amazing saves this year too because of that. And so to your point, I was at the race in Atlanta, which was the first one, and then the next week in Vegas. And so you kind of saw the evolution between those two. And then watching, like, Talladega was a lot of fun. That was one of the best Talladega races I've seen in a while. I think the short tracks have been good. And then now the mile and a halfs are starting to come into their own with Kansas and then Charlotte. We'll see how it works with the 600. But the thing I like is NASCAR has not, you know, they typically will just change rules as they go and just kind of make it up. They have tweaked. They've listened to the drivers. They've looked at the data, but they're sticking with it. And I like that.
Yeah, they need to stick. They need to stay with it. I think that's what was so confusing and turned some people off. It's the hardcore fan and the casual fan is they were making so many drastic changes, you know, and they were listening to the fans, but I think they were listening too much.
Yeah.
Now, you know, tweaking like the qualifying, everybody was kind of aggravated with the way qualifying was going. And I think it's good to know who's just got raw speed with a single car, but I think with, you know, you got the Hendrick cars really showing up now. I'm looking forward to when Bowman and, you know, William Byron, those guys are getting close to those wins. And when they start them, you're going to have, you know, some of these old school guys, you know, the older guys now, Kyle Busch and Truex and all these guys are going to get mad if they start popping off some wins. And maybe we'll get a little bit, you know, the younger versus older rivalries, because I think that's the only thing we need now. We need more of the Clint and Newman, but I'd like to see it, you know, kind of like we had in the 90s with
Earnhardt and Gordon.
Yeah. Yep. So we need that. And it'd be good to see it from some of the younger guys. You know, we need more rivalries and we'd be set, I think.
Well, and Chase Elliott's coming to his own now. He's got 4 wins in, what is it, 10 months that, you know, and everybody was wondering, when's he going to win? Is he ever going to win? Was it too soon? Now he's got it figured out. I think Bowman or Byron could possibly win this weekend.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, Byron's on the pole. Bowman has been just running lights out as of late. He gets into the all-star race and has a good showing. They're figuring out this rules package over there at Hendrick, and Jimmy Johnson being up and down, you know, I hate seeing that because you don't want to see him go out just, you know, down. Would like to see him run for one more championship, but I think Bowman's close, and having Chad Knaus with William Byron, that was a good move.
Yeah. It's weird, like, because for so long we were tired of seeing Jimmy win.
Yeah.
And now we're like, man.
Now you feel bad for him.
Yeah, I sure wish Jimmy would win a race, but, you know, I don't think he's lost anything. I just think it's, they did change on him every time he was really good at something.
Yeah.
They change to try to take him, you know, so I think he's just got to figure out what's, you know, with this new crew chief and the new package. I think he'll be all right. I want to see him win a race and be competitive because I think it's good, you know, for him to be up front and to teach some of these, because he is, I mean, you can argue it, but he's definitely one of the best that's ever been. I'm pulling for Jimmy.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. He is Tim Duggar. I'm Chase McCabe. It's Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. When we come back, we'll tell you about the World of Outlaws event that is coming to the Nashville Fairgrounds, plus some more racing stories from Tim here on Chasing Checkers on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game on the Game Nashville app as well. Chase McCabe and with special guest Tim Duggar, who's been nice enough to come in studio. And I met Tim for the first time last week. Go out to the Nashville Fairgrounds, and they were dumping dirt on the racetrack, which was cool because I've never seen that process done. I've never been to a dirt race. Next weekend will be my first, so I'm really excited about it. But World of Outlaws, you mentioned earlier about going to Knoxville Nationals, and I think Eldora, you've been there before, and seeing dirt racing. This event, May 31st, June 1st, at the Nashville Speedway, is going to be a lot of fun, and people that have never seen dirt racing should definitely check it out.
Yeah, I've been telling everybody, even, you know, I got friends that don't even really follow racing at all, and I'm like, if you have ever went to a race, you should come watch this, because those guys get up on the wheel, and it's going to be so cool because the fairgrounds are so, I don't think it's ever had dirt on it.
No.
So that's history in itself. And to support the track, trying to bring it back. I know there's a lot of people talking about what they'd love to see at the fairgrounds. And it starts, I think this could really kick it off big if people come out and support it. And if you don't, you're missing out because the racing is awesome.
What's funny is when we were out there, John Oates of Hall & Oates was there, which was pretty cool because, you know, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer and everything. And I said to him, I've never been to a dirt race. This will be my first one. And he pointed over to the catch fence and he said, well, go sit right there because that's where you want to be. You'll get covered in it, but you're right there. And that's the cool part about this type of racing is you can be up close and personal with it. And I'm going to take his advice. That's what I'm going to do because I know a bunch of the NASCAR guys are going to be here that they own World of Outlaws cars. And these sprint cars are, I've heard, the hardest to drive of pretty much just about anything.
You know, when you walk up and look in one, it just amazes you how they even get in them.
Yeah.
I've sat near the track. You want some goggles on, of course, some safety glasses or whatever, but to when they come in that turn and to hear, you know, it's some kind of crazy. Like, it really makes you go, dang, I get. And you can kind of compare it to what NASCAR, why those guys come out, some of them, and was able to be so good in NASCAR, the way they have to drive them. And you gotta be tough to drive those things. And I've been able to, I played Knoxville last year, Placerville out in California. And growing up in the South, I didn't ever see those kind of cars. You know, see late models, which I love, but those World Outlaws and sprint cars, they're bad to the bone.
Well, and there's so many drivers now that have that background. Kyle Larson is one of them. Stenhouse, I think Ryan Preece is a guy that's been on the show that he has the dirt background. And I know the Dillons have run dirt. And just you see this next generation of driver that I think they see a guy like Tony Stewart that would race anything, or Ken Schrader that would race anything. And so that's kind of how they've come up through the ranks. And World of Outlaws is a great, you know, platform to be discovered. And so some of the drivers we're going to see, I know there's going to be some veterans and names that we know, but some of the drivers we'll see next weekend are guys that you could see on the NASCAR circuit here in the very near future.
Yeah, I mean, the series, it's got such a cult following too. I mean, it's, I think it brings such a crowd. And then you got, you know, like Larson has said, he can't, you know, when he's done with Cup, he wants to go run World Outlaws.
Yeah.
So that just shows, and he's as much racer as anybody, if not more. For him wanting to go run that series says a lot about it. And I'm, you know, since they started talking about it, you know, a couple years ago, about being able to do it, I was wondering if it ever get pulled off. But now it's here, and it's going to be a really good time. I'm excited about playing the shows because I love, you know, of course, playing and getting to play in Nashville and getting to play for the race fans. But I'm just as excited to drink a beer and watch the races. So it's going to be fun.
Chase McCabe, Tim Duggar here with you on Chasing Checkers. Now, you mentioned your shows, so tell everybody where they can see you play next weekend as part of World Outlaws.
We're playing the post-race on Friday night, so right after the race. There's going to be like a little fan zone kind of right outside the front stretch. And then on Saturday, we're playing pre-race around 4:00. So two shows in the weekend, and it's going to be a really good time. I'm excited. I rarely get to play in Nashville, you know, unless it's, you know, some for the label or a riders round or something. You just don't play much in Nashville. But to be able to do that at a race,
yeah.
I'm like, well, if, you know, I'm pretty lucky to be, you know, one, to get to play home and to get to watch racing. Hope we get some great weather. If we get some weather like we're getting this weekend, it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be sticky and tempers and perfect Friday night, Saturday night racing.
And it's, you know, it's big money. I mean, if you win both these races next weekend, it's, you know, you've had a good week. So it's, I think people will get up on the wheel. I've talked to Brad Sweet a little bit, and he's really excited. And seems like he always wins the big races. He knows how to win those big races. So I think I'll be pulling for Brad, but I just want to see it. I want to see those guys racing and a lot of passing, and hopefully I think they will. I think they're excited to be in Nashville, which is great. They don't go to big cities, and, you know, Nashville, everybody's wanting to be here right now. So it's I think those guys are going to let it hang out.
And that's the perfect transition, because I've had – you know, different drivers on. Boyer, who is just, you know, excited to party in Nashville for the awards banquet, but Harvick and all these guys that either have raced at the fairgrounds or raced out at the Super Speedway, but want to be in Nashville, want to have NASCAR here, whether it's the Cup Series, Xfinity, the trucks, whatever they have to do, but they all use the phrase, we need to be in Nashville, because there's such a deep fan base here. And if you look at television ratings, NASCAR is always in there. They're always in the top five of people paying attention and watching. And I went to my very first race at the fairgrounds. It was a Legends race, and I was hooked ever since. And I remember watching Dale Jr. run out there, and you know, these different drivers that have come up through the ranks. It would be cool, and this is the perfect event to start that. And with all the proposals that are out there from Bristol and SMI, I think this will really help that.
Yeah, I agree. I think this could definitely be the start of something really big. You know, all those guys are supporting it. They want it here. I know Dale says it's one of his favorite tracks of all time. You know, I hope one day, you know, to get to see Junior race at the fairgrounds again.
Do you think he would?
Who knows? You know, I think if the circumstances was right,
I think
you could see it. I know he loves the track. So it's, I would, you know, of course, the perfect scenario is getting to watch a cup race there one day, which I think can happen.
I think that has a very good chance of happening. If they approve all this and they dump $60 million, which Bristol's like, hey, we're here, we're going to do this, SMI. If they dump this money into it and get it fixed up before that 2021 schedule comes out, I think there's a very good chance, because they want to try these midweek races. And think about it. They could do a Wednesday night or Thursday night race at Nashville and then go to Bristol or Talladega or whatever and do it all in 1 week. And that's two dates knocked off the schedule, because I know a lot of these drivers want, you know, more time off. And I think the way to do it is you run some of these midweek races, condense the schedule a little bit, and then you have a longer off.
And if you have a midweek race in Nashville, or, you know, it's not as bad as, say, trying to do Chicago, which is outside of town. You know, that we're right here in town. I mean, our bars are packed on Monday night. you know, Broadway's packed every night. So I think we could definitely pack it out. And, you know, it's country music and racing. It's for so long, it's been hand in hand. I mean, the same kind of fan base. And I think NASCAR, Phelps said it on Junior's podcast, you know, we chased a fan by neglecting a fan at a point. And I think they're done. They say they're done with that, and they're making all the right moves. And I've done a lot of shows with SMI, and it seems like SMI is always thinking of how to, you know, take it to the next level with the big screens they did at Texas and Charlotte. And Michael Waltrip posted a video on Instagram talking to Bruton, and Bruton says, I want to be in Nashville.
Yeah.
So when that guy gets his mind to it, you know, if it ever was going to happen, I think this is the chance. We have a good chance.
And the other thing too, they're building that MLS stadium, which is cool, because that's going to be different. Soccer coming to Nashville. They're going to have that over there. And what I said on the show last week is, you know, nothing against the history of the racetrack, but everybody will agree it needs work. They need to fix it up. And if you're the MLS folks, do you want to have your brand spanking new state-of-the-art stadium sitting next to a dumpy old racetrack? No, you don't. And so if you dump the money into the racetrack and fix it up, and then all of a sudden you have a historic racing service, a historic racetrack, and nobody's saying touch the racetrack itself, it's just around it. But then if you have that all built up and state-of-the-art next to this brand new MLS stadium, that's a premier destination. That's where you want to go.
Yeah, it's you know, and I don't know all the things that are in place, but that, I mean, I could not imagine that track going anywhere. And I think, I mean, it's so old and so much history. So I say fix it up. Don't touch the track.
Don't touch the
pavement or anything. Just touch everything else.
Yeah.
Leave the track the way it is, because I think that's what makes it, you know, you start messing with that, you can really mess it up. But I would love to see trucks and Xfinity and Cup. And I just think it would be such a, you know, destination to come. You know, and NASCAR, you know, they see what, I mean, the NFL saw it. They wanted to be in Nashville. Everybody wants to be in Nashville.
Right.
So I say we go. They're going to bring money in. Let them come.
Yeah. And if they're already coming here for the awards banquet, I mean, that's dipping the toe in the water, if I've ever seen it. He is Tim Duggar. I'm Chase McCabe. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Coke 600, the Indy 500 a little bit, and a little more about what Tim is going to be doing with World of Outlaws. It's Chasing Checkers on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And we're back here, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Chase McCabe, Tim Duggar hanging out with you. Corey LaJoy coming up in just a little bit. We'll chat with him. But Tim, of course, involved with the World of Outlaws, going to be playing next week. He'll do, you said, the post-race concert Friday night, pre-race on Saturday. You can still get your tickets, worldofoutlaws.com. Two nights of awesome racing at the fairgrounds. And that's, we spent all last segment talking about going back to the fairgrounds and even during the break, and getting racing out there. And I feel like they're so, so close. But a big weekend this weekend. Now, you said when you got in here, you're kind of like me. You're a gearhead, and you do all three on Sunday. You'll watch a little bit of Monaco, then the Indy 500, and then the Coke 600. I'm excited. It's my favorite day.
Yeah, it's a great day. You know, of course I nap during all, you know, I'll grab a nap and it just comes as it goes because I'm usually hungover on that day. But yeah, it's a great day for racing. And, you know, hopefully they all, Indy gets some good weather on Sunday. And I guess Charlotte's looking good. I'm pretty, you know, of course, the, you know, I'm more NASCAR, more stock cars than Indy, but I mean, Indy. So I want to go there. I've never been there for the Indy 500. I've been to the Brickyard 400, but it's fun to watch. And, you know, the drama that can be there. I was, I had just gotten signed to Curb when Dan Weldon won.
Oh, cool.
And Curb was on the car. So that's kind of when I really, I'd always kind of watched it a little bit, but I kind of started paying more attention to IndyCar. But yeah, I got a bucket list of some races that I want to go. And that's, Indy 500, Monaco's another bucket list I want to go to. But I'm excited. That 600 is going to be pretty solid too. I think we could, you know, like we talked, like I think you could see somebody's first time win there, just like, you know, Austin did, you know, 2 years ago.
I think Bowman's going to win. I'll just go ahead and say I'm calling it. He's finished runner up in three straight points races. He's so close. I thought he was going to get it at Kansas. Like he had it right there and it just a little slip up at the end. I think he's going to be a first time winner and he's going to get it done at the Coke 600. Cause how many times do you see that? You see first time winners in the 600 all the time. Was it Kenseth, I think, did it and way back when, and just, you've had a Austin Dillon, as you mentioned. I just think it's time, and I think he gets it done.
Yeah, I mean, Kasey Kahne had that race for so long. I mean, he had it figured out. I put Truex in as my winner in my fantasy league.
Okay.
Because I feel like they've been really close at the end of a 500-mile race or 400-mile race. You know, they're second and third, and if it was longer, they'd have them. So I figure that last 100 miles will help them. But who knows? I'd be fine with a first time winner. I think it's good for the sport. And as long as it's good, if we get 600 miles of Kansas, it's going to be pretty good.
And the thing with me in this show is, you know, I'm a race fan first. I've always been a NASCAR fan, so I don't hide my allegiances and, you know, things like that. But watching Alex Bowman over the last couple of years and being a guy that was handpicked by Dale Jr. to replace him, to go through the struggles that he has. I've had him on the show a couple times and he's been open about it. And now to see it all come together and that hard work start to pay off, that's what you love about this sport. And so it's like, yeah, I'm pulling for him. And I like a lot of these guys, you know, Chase Elliott or Kevin Harvick or Bowyer or any of these guys. But to see, and I think the cool thing about this sport is you hear the other drivers go, you know, Brad Keselowski said it when he won at Kansas, Alex Bowman's going to win a race, you know, and they pull for each other. So most of them. And so I think that's a cool thing. And I'm hoping that he can get it done.
Yeah. I like most of them. There's only probably two or three that I don't care for, as a fan, playing at the races, I have to kind of, sometimes you don't, you know, you got to keep your fandom out of it to a point,
because you've made relationships.
Yeah, and then you have your buddies. Of course, you want to pull for them over anybody. And I used to get into it, like on Twitter, I'd defend, you know, somebody talking about, you know, Austin or somebody talking about Stenhouse. I'd be like, hey, man, you know, and that's one thing about the only, you know, the changes are so good, the sport, but these guys' personalities coming out, just like Clint. I mean, besides the helmet, you know, Clint, I think he's at the point where he's in a great car and he's wanting to win a championship. So I think you're getting a lot of frustration out of people, and you got to have that. I mean, that's what made NASCAR what it is, and racing without the passion to win. If they were all just riding around collecting a check, which you know, I felt like as a fan there for a while, there was a couple of years where, you know, the racing wasn't as good. So we might have felt like that's what we were seeing.
Right.
I think their personalities need to come out. And I think you know, those young guys getting up front, some of these veterans are going to get tired of that, and that's when I hope it really pops off. I'm hoping. I want some drama. Let them go at it. You know, I'm sitting there all the time going, don't put up with that. Let's do it. You know, we need more of it.
Yeah, and I love it when you have, like, and I'll go back to last year when Kyle Busch and Kyle Larson went door-to-door at Chicago, and it was one of those, okay, all right, Kyle got into him and won the race, and he said, hey, Kyle and Larson and I have an understanding. You race me that way, I'm going to race you back. And Larson said, yep, I'm totally fine with it. That's the kind of stuff I miss, that you don't always have that, because you'll have somebody get wrecked and you know, they'll complain about it and say, well, I wouldn't race him that way. Well, you were. You were door-to-door and beating and banging and in old school racing. Larson and Busch had it figured out, yeah. And that's what the fans want to see. You don't want to see wrecks all the time, but if guys are side by side and they are trading paint and having an old school type race, especially at Charlotte and, you know, 600 miles where you're tired, and these cars are tougher to drive than they have been, because you're getting more downforce in the corner. So,
and it's going to be hot. They're going to be aggravated.
So that's what we want to see as true race fans.
I think, you know, when they wreck racing, that's racing.
Yep.
Now there's a difference just riding in there, turning somebody. But I love Larson's attitude about racing.
Yep.
I mean, I've seen him get, you know, the bad end of a deal. I mean, when Newman slammed him to make it into the championship a couple years ago, he understood. He's like, I knew it was coming. I mean, so he handles it so well. And I mean, he's so fun to watch, and he's going to be good. I mean, he showed out at the All-Star race and he needed that. So I hope he's up front too. I like Kyle a lot. And, I always knew Kyle Larson was really, you know, an awesome driver. And then I went to the Chili Bowl a couple of years ago and that turned it up even more. I'm like, this guy is next level bad.
He's one of those guys, and you know, I mean, no disrespect to his team, but I feel like if his equipment was just a little bit better, you would see Kyle Larson winning a lot.
Yeah, you can imagine him in a couple other different cars.
If he's in Hendrick equipment, or if he's in Penske,
yeah,
I mean, he could have a championship at this point.
Yeah,
but the guy can drive a race car.
Yeah, he's solid. He's a good one. I think, you know, he's let a lot slip away, and he's got to, you know, I'm pretty sure mentally he's getting, you know, tired of letting him, you know, a little bad luck. And just like Chase with all those second place finishes.
Right.
I think the future is really bright in racing. A lot of good personalities. This whole group of young drivers, I mean, they're younger than me. But they're all good guys. I mean, they get it. They, you know, they want to do what's best for the sport. They appreciate the fans. I mean, it's talking to them. They really got it figured out. And, you know, now they just need to get after each other.
Absolutely. Tim Duggar, Chase McCabe here with you. Coke 600, of course, Sunday night on Fox. The Indy 500 will be in the middle of the day. Of course, we're pulling for around here, Joseph Newgarden, who, of course, is a Hendersonville native, and I think he's got a good chance to win it. I had him on a couple of months ago, and I asked him about the double. Would you ever run the double? Because he drives for Roger Penske, and he basically said, Roger hired me to do two things, win a championship and win the Indy 500. And once I do those two things, he said we could talk. Well, he's won a championship. So now, you know, Indy 500, and maybe he makes the switch, or he tries the double, or – but, you know, he's a racer, too. So.
Yeah, that's always cool to see when people do that. And yeah, you got to pull for the hometown boy. So that would be awesome.
Yeah, and your buddy Dale Jr., of course, doing some analyst work at Indy, his first Indy 500. So that's what's cool about his deal with NBC, is they put him in these situations of things that he's never been to before, and he can't help but just be excited about it, and the fan comes out.
Yeah,
and
I
so
told
you
him,
get some of that.
I was like, man, you know, you picked the right one. Your retirement hasn't sucked at all. You've gotten to do so many cool things, you know, and he got to do so much, but he was so busy, you know, with racing. It's good to see him enjoying and being able to do some stuff. And I mean, he seems to be loving it. He's got, you know, a great relationship with NBC, and I think he does a great job in the booth. I really enjoy him in the booth, and you know, and I'm not just saying that. I really, you know, he's passionate about it, and he's excited, and he has a true love for the radio guys that, you know, call the races. So he was trying to bring that to the booth, and you can kind of hear it. It's, you know, he I think he's doing a great job, and for him to be there at the Indy 500's honor, and it's an honor for NASCAR. I mean, for them to let a NASCAR guy lead the field for the Indy 500 is pretty awesome.
Yeah, just he needs to remember to make that turn on pit road when they wave the green flag.
That would be so cool to look back there and see those cars. I think that would be awesome. My wife got to, do you remember, it was the All-Star race when Edwards won and tore his car up?
Yeah.
So we're kind of standing around talking to some people with NASCAR, and they couldn't find the Sprint Cup. So the Pace car was supposed to bring Edwards into victory lane, the Sprint All-Star car. So they told my wife to get in, just wave at people. So my wife was in the car waving at people. I have the pictures and videos. And Edwards tore his car up. If he wouldn't have tore his car up, she would have, you know, they would have let him ride into victory lane. But it was so cool. And I was like, how was that? I mean, it was packed and it was a great race. And, you know, she got to experience a little bit of it, which was really cool. But, you know, I've been so lucky and being around racing to have some really cool memories. And sometimes you kind of take it for granted. That's the reason I love to take people to races that's never been. Or take like a hardcore fan that's never got to do it, because that's what it's all about. I grew up a fan of it, and to be able to do it, to go to races and have relationships with it, is pretty cool. My dad, I mean, we talk about racing, about, you know, we always, who you think is going to win? Did you like that? My dad, unbiased, he likes the Penske guys. And he used to be hardcore Chevrolet, but he really likes Logano and Keselowski. The way they drive, and it's hard not to like the way they drive.
I like Blaney.
Yeah, Blaney's solid. Man. He's a good dude. Blaney loves Nashville too. So Blaney is a cool dude. I like him a lot.
Well, Tim, real quick before we let you go here, World of Outlaws next week. People can check you out at that. Tickets are pretty cheap for this deal. worldofoutlaws.com out at the fairgrounds. You'll do the post race show Friday night, the pre-race show Saturday, but where else can people hear and find your music?
We're, you know, we stay pretty busy. Our schedule really gets pretty busy after this weekend. We're actually in Michigan for a infield concert the next weekend, so we're getting the racing in there. Some of the races I got coming up, Pocono in July, probably end up, it's not confirmed, but I usually do the Bristol Fall. So we, you know, got a lot of racing stuff coming up, but I also got some music being released later this year. I've been working the last year on a new record. I haven't cut music and recorded music in the last 3 years. So we've been kind of writing and working with a new producer that we just kind of clicked. It's just been a natural way of doing it. And I'm the happiest I've ever been about the music I'm recording. And I can't wait for that to be released. And hopefully it's a good 2019. I'm looking forward to, you know, all the shows and all the kind of stuff we got going on. Really lucky guy. But also at the fairgrounds, though, for the World Outlaws, we got a party deck.
So
we have the party deck. I think we got one of the downtown bars going to, you know, come up and bartend. And we're going to have cornhole, like, flip cup, beer pong. So
I'll be there.
Yeah. So that's going to be the place. So when people buy their tickets, I think there's an option for the party deck. You know, I'm going to try to get some drivers up to come up and mingle with the fans. We want to make that party deck this coming weekend kind of like the band box for the sounds.
Yeah.
We want it to kind of be the place people want to be. And hopefully everybody comes out. I promise you, even if you're not a race fan, if you come out, you're going to love what you see. It's going to be a great experience, and I can't wait.
Well, I will be there, and I'll be sure to check your show out as well. Appreciate you coming in here.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll have you on again very soon around when your record comes out.
Yeah, man, I enjoyed it.
We'll do it. He is Tim Duggar. Follow him on Twitter at Tim_Duggar. Chase McCabe here with you on Chasing Checkers. Corey LaJoy up next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game on the Game Nashville app as well. Chase McCabe hanging out with you and joined by Corey LaJoy. He's the driver of the number 32 Go Fast Racing Ford. Corey, how are we?
I'm doing good for today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Excited about 600 miles of racing this weekend at Charlotte for the Coca-Cola 600. And that's where I want to start with, because a lot has been made about the rules package that you guys are running. And we've seen some pretty good racing as of late with that thing. But I've noticed and I've heard drivers say that it's, you know, it's harder to drive. You're worn out after these races. With 600 miles, which is already a challenge in itself, how do you prepare for that with this new package?
Well, just for a little bit of explanation on the package, the car goes slower down the straightaways, but the added downforce, we go probably 20 miles an hour faster in the corners than we did in the previous years. So just all that G load, it's applied straight to your body. So, you know, where we were seeing probably maybe at 1.5 G's, now we're seeing, you know, 2.5. So that's a lot when you go around 1,200 corners here at Charlotte. So, you know, it's you definitely, man, after those 50 laps in the All-Star Open, you know, I was sweating pretty good. So it's gonna be really hot here on Saturday or Sunday. They're calling for like 94, 95 degrees. So it's definitely going to separate the men from the boys, and this will put your fitness to the test for sure.
Is there something that you do differently with your race day routine? Do you, you know, maybe try to drink a little more water? Is there something you really can do differently?
Not drink as much beer throughout the week. Sure. you don't want to do that. But, you know, I'll take my salt tablets to try to stay ahead of it. You know, if you start drinking on Friday, that's too late. You know, you got to start drinking this week, especially as hot as it was. You got to be drinking throughout the week and just make sure you're ahead of it, because if you're dehydrated on Sunday getting into the race, you're going to have a long night.
So I'm always curious when I talk to different drivers, and this is the first time that you've been on the show, just with how this package has been. You know, we've seen some pretty good racing as of late. I've really enjoyed it. You know, what we have seen, the All-Star race, of course, was fun last week. You mentioned running the Open, but from a driver's point of view, how has the process been for you learning how this is going to work with the different tracks?
You know, I think it's very weather sensitive as well in regards to how the actual race product plays out, because we saw Kansas, it was a night race for the first, I think it was the first night mile and a half race we've had all year, and the weather was cool and they couldn't have dialed up any better weather for grip. So that's why we saw a lot of side-by-side racing over the course of the run. But anytime you get a lot of heat in the racetrack, the track has a little less grip, so you're not allowed. It doesn't allow you to race as close as it would have if the track has a little more grip. So, you know, as a driver, I would like to see a little bit more car finesse. You know, with a little more horsepower, probably a little less drag. I think everybody that drives wants to see that, just so it puts the controls in the driver's hands a little bit more. But as a race fan, it's pretty exciting to watch. Go back and watch the races and see those guys running side by side for positions that you normally wouldn't see. So, you know, obviously I'd like to have a little bit more, you know, anytime you can give me more power and less downforce, I'm all for that. But, you know, sometimes what's good for the goose isn't good for the gander. So, you know, I'm excited. I think the people in NASCAR in the big building down there in Daytona are pulling their ropes the right way. And I think, you know, fast forward here a year or two when this new Gen 7 car comes out, we're going to see a lot of positive gains in the aero department, as well as bringing some new OEMs. And, you know, we'll see how the landscape of NASCAR looks here in 2021.
Corey LaJoy here on with us on Chasing Checkers. Now, one thing that we saw last week of the All-Star race, we saw a little scuffle on pit road between Clint Bowyer and Ryan Newman, and that's going to happen sometimes. I know they've used the phrase "boys will be boys" and "our boys have at it" and things like that. But what's the conversation like in the garage area when there's a disagreement, so to speak, after a race?
We all separated after the All-Star race there, so nobody really has reconvened until tomorrow when we get to the track. So I'm interested to see what everybody's perspective is. Obviously, it's been the big talking point of, you know, Boyer leaving his helmet on and punching Newman while he's in the car, couldn't defend himself. So if you ask me, you know, I'm always a fan of, you know, a good old-fashioned fisticuff, but maybe not so much like that. But, hey, he was mad enough to not let Ryan Newman get out of his car, and probably he knew what he was doing, because if you let Ryan Newman get out of the car, he'll get those big old, you know, hay bale throwing mitts on you, and probably would have been game over for Clint. But he was mad enough to punch him in the face, and I think that gets everybody riled up, and, you know, I think that's what NASCAR needs a little bit more of.
Yeah, the personalities make the sport, and I think that that's kind of fun to see. And you're a guy that, you know, you have a personality. We all saw your car at Daytona. You had the best paint scheme by far with your face on the hood. Can you kind of take me through how all that happened? Because it turned out to be awesome.
Yeah, so we got in contact with Old Spice, and they were trying to push their new product of Males Dry Shampoo, and they had the bright idea of putting my face on the car and with like hair going down the side, and they wanted to make it, you know, like a memeable moment, right? Nowadays, it's all about social media and engagement. So they pinned me as the guy who puts his face on his car for the Daytona 500, and it actually grew on me, because you know, I didn't think it was gonna be received as positively as it was, and it grew on me, and they liked it so much they came back and jumped on for Atlanta. So that was a really cool program they did, and they got a lot of publicity for it, as well as I did, so it was good for everybody.
Yeah, and that has to be good for the race team as well. I know it's a smaller operation, and you guys are scratching and clawing, but to have that kind of support, that's exactly what you're looking for to be competitive.
Yeah, the more money you got, the faster you go. It's you know, when the guy spends $3 million, he's going to have a hard time competing with the guy that spends $10 million. So that's what we're doing, and I feel like we've been doing a pretty good job at Go Fast all year. So we just got to keep executing races and just keep on moving up the ladder.
Now, we're seeing a lot of these second, third-generation drivers like yourself in NASCAR these days. Your dad, Randy, of course, a two-time Busch Series champion. What kind of conversations do you have with him when you're getting ready to go to a race as a guy that has won at the highest of levels and done this for a long time? I mean, it has to be good to have him as a sounding board.
Yeah, I mean, anytime I could, you know, bounce any sort of, you know, outside information just to get a little another perspective, it's always good. So, yeah, I mean, right now in my career, I've learned a lot behind the wheel as well as outside the car with dealing with just the ins and outs of the sport. So it's something, I learn something new every week inside and outside the car, whether it's dealing with media or, you know, people in general. So it's definitely molding me into somebody that I didn't think that I'd be.
Well, I hope us in the media are nice to you. You know, we try to be good guys.
Everybody in the media has treated me really well. They don't realize what I'll be capable of when I get in something good yet, because I haven't had the chance to show. But I can promise you, you can put me in something good, I'll show.
Well, I know we'll be watching and be cheering for you. It's good to have you on the show, first time on, and I really appreciate it. Good luck this weekend at Charlotte.
I appreciate you having me on, yeah.
There you go, Corey LaJoy, running the Coke 600 this weekend. That is going to do it for another edition of Chasing Checkers. My thanks to Tim Duggar for coming in the studio and hanging out, and, of course, Corey LaJoy. And all of you, you can find us at thegamenashville.com and also iTunes. Rate, subscribe, and review. Just search for Chasing Checkers, and we're here every Saturday at 7 and Sunday at 8 right here on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.